Happy Saturday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and the windshield fell off of my lavalier microphone. So I'm coming to you unprotected. You probably hear wind and stuff flying around. Probably hearing insects and all kinds of debris that's in the air. Air just rushing against the microphone. I'm not too worried about it. I think I got like 9 of them at home. I know I got extras that I haven't used. Hell, from this microphone, from these microphones, and from previous lavalier microphones that I've had. I'm sure I got extras, but just want to throw this on and talk. Today was an interesting day. Today was potato chip day. I found these unsalted kettle chips that are sold, but they're hard to find. So it all started with me Googling unsalted chips straight out of Google, and got, you know, the whole plethora of, you know, responses. Narrowed it down to where I found some in at Vaughn's, somewhere out in Mission Hills or somewhere. So I ordered like 10 bags. No, let's start it off the very beginning. When I first saw the unsalted potato chips was on Amazon. At Amazon, it said 3 bags. It said 3 7.5 ounce bags for $28. I don't know what I was thinking. I went ahead and bought them. I get them. They're only 5 ounce bags, and I paid $30 for them. Of course, they came the next day, but still. So I got a small, I paid like $7 a bag for them. Impulse, definitely impulse. So I got them, I ate them, I liked them. But I said, wait a minute, you know, this price is too much. So I Googled again and I found them at a Vaughn's. And when I was doing that, I was finding them being listed, but once you go there, they weren't there. All kinds of places. I even wanted to try to go straight to the manufacturer, but you know, had to go through a distributor. So I found them at Vaughn's in Mission Hills or someplace. It's like a half hour away, half hour drive. So I ordered them like on a Wednesday or Thursday to pick up on a Saturday. You know, so I just drive up, pick up. You know, they bring all to the car, blah, blah, blah. So I had that all set up. So I had to wait a few days until the order was confirmed. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning is when the order got confirmed. I was like, oh, okay. Cool. So I really didn't believe it. And that was the day I was on my way out there. Didn't have much to do. So I stopped by Lake Balboa to play with my cameras and set up the computer just to document the drive, just have something to do. And I ran my battery down and the car wouldn't start. So I had to call AAA. AAA came out. He looked at the battery. He got it started. He said his diagnostic said a cell was bad in the battery. And I said, can I make it to go get my potato chips? He said, you never know. So I went out there, but I didn't cut the car off. Went out there, drove like 30, 20 miles, got my chips. And I shouldn't even say got my chips. I should say I was surprised to get there and they had my chips ready. 10 bags. I think I got like 10 bags for like $40 or something like that. 10 bags for like $45 of these chips, 7.5 ounce unsalted. And the kettle chips, real thick kind, it's, you know, hard and crunchy that I like, but unsalted. Because, you know, my blood pressure, I've been trying to keep it down. And I've been a salt Nazi, just being just overly too much on the salt. I mean, just, you know, going way overboard, just trying to go zero salt, period. To the point that, hell, I might even end up with a sodium deficiency as obsessive as I am about the salt. So I get the salt, I get the chips, you know, I'm happy. So at first I paid $30 for 3 5-ounce bags. And in this, I picked up like 10 bags, I think, for like $45 or something like that. And they were 7.5 ounce bags. Of course, I ate them all. You know, they're gone. So I ate them all and they were good though. And then so then after that, I started getting lightly salted potato chips. So I've been getting lightly salted potato chips because they were, you know, it was the only thing that was available I was like, ah, what the hell, you know? You know, I'll try not to eat a lot of them. And I'll check my blood pressure to see, you know, because I love eating chips. And I think the reason, one of the reasons my blood pressure was up was probably because I was eating potato chips like every day, all the time, a little bit too much. So that's why I went to Unsalted, because I do like the chips. And what I do is I get the Unsalted ones, these kettle ones, I'll sprinkle vinegar on them and then sprinkle potassium chloride on them. Not sodium chloride, potassium chloride. And potassium chloride gives you that little salt burn or whatever, that little salt undertaste or burn. But it doesn't quite taste like salt, but it gives you that part. And I just add other seasonings to try to get it to where I want it to be, you know, to avoid the sodium. So those chips was good. So I went out to Mission Hills. I ordered them. I went to Mission Hills. I got my chips. I was happy. I had like 10 bags. And they brought them out to the car. And I ate them all up. But, you know, that's what they was for. And so now they're all gone. And I got to, you know, I had to get some more. So I went to order some more. And, you know, again, not finding them, doing this, doing that. Looking around, trying to see where they are, trying to see where they're not. So I ordered from Vons and ended up finding some in Mission Hills, got them. All right, I think I already said that. I'm kind of walking and looking and doing a bunch of stuff. So I got them. And then you know, and I ate them and it was gone. So I had to reorder. So this week I ordered 10 bags from Vons up in Santa Clarita. So I put in an order for 10 bags and the price went down to $3.99 from like $4.79. I was like, oh, hell yeah, give me all of them. So I ordered 15 bags and they kept saying, your order, you know, said your order, you got to wait, you know, till they tell your order's ready. You know, they confirm your order, then they say, wait till it's ready. Then they tell you it's ready for pickup. But before they told me it's ready for pickup, they said it's ready for pickup, but it was 13 substitutes. They were trying to give me some other sea salt chips. I was like, nope, cancel them. So it was only 2 bags. So I was like laying in the bed. You know, it was a little bit early. So I'm in the bed early yesterday. I was up late in the bed, just, you know, playing on my phone in the quiet of Saturday morning. And I said, let me see if I can find some more. And I was debating whether I would ride up there, because I worked the day at 12. I was debating would I ride up there and get just 2 bags. Would I ride an hour ride, half hour each way, just to pick up 2 bags of chips? I was like, yeah, I ain't got nothing else to do. Plus, I like driving my car. Plus, after work, I ain't going nowhere. When I get off at 8, I'll be in the house. It'll be good to get out. And it was a nice day driving to California, driving up through the mountains, you know, up to Santa Clarita, up to 405, 35, and 14. So it was nice to get out. I had the sunroof, you know, closed, but the shade open. So it was just nice, you know, to get some sun or whatever. So I rode up there and I got the chips, got 2 bags. And I come back. But before I left, I was Googling to see if anybody else had them. And then, so the Ralphs by my house said they had them. I was like, they ain't got these damn chips. I was like, I know damn well they ain't got them. So I ordered 10 of them anyway. I said, give me 10. All right. I said, give me 10. And then the order said, and I said, give me 10 and let me pick them up at 10. And 10 was like only an hour and a half from when I made the order. I made the order like 8:30. I said, let me pick them up at 10. And I was like an hour and a half later. And so I was like, okay, let's see if they can fulfill this and get it done in an hour and a half, you know. So I made that order and then I went up to Santa Clarita, you know, to get the 2 bags. And then on the way back, I said, well, if I get up there and they got the 2 bags, you know, and I come back and I pick up the 10 on the way back. So I got the 2 bags and I'm coming back. And then sure enough, Ralph says, come get them. They're ready. And I put no substitutions on the Ralph ones. I was like, okay. But I still didn't believe it. It was on my way home anyhow. So I said, let me stop by. So I stopped by Ralph's, pulled in. You know, I said, I'm pulling in. Hit, I'm here. You know, spot, pick up spot number 4, blah, blah. Sure enough, he comes out walking. with 10 bags of my chips, unsalted, right down the street from my house. I was like, oh, at $3.99, at the good price. I was like, you got any more in there? He said, yeah, there's like three of them left in there. I was like, can you get them? He told me I'd have to make another order, go in there and get them. I was like, I'm cool. I got like 12 bags. Plus, it's fun. You know, chasing chips is fun. I just like, you know, strategizing, chasing stuff. I like putting in the work. So now I just dropped off 12 bags, 12 7.5-ounce bags of unsalted potato chips, unsalted kettle chips at my house. Then I just dropped them off in the kitchen and come out and just start walking. Because I woke up, I didn't do my morning walk. So I got a nice little drive in. And then, you know, I came out, I got my chips. And on the way back, you know, it was a nice freeway ride. You know, people was kind of hectic a little bit out there Saturday morning. There was a few, you know, people doing crazy stuff, you know, trying to drive too fast or whatever in a hurry. You know, but I was like, and it was kind of interesting to wake up and go right to 80 miles an hour. It was interesting to wake up and go, you know, wake up, throw on some clothes, and go right to 80 miles an hour. So that was interesting to have that experience. And plus to get out, it was just fun to get out. So now I got 12 bags, unsalted chips at home. I should be set for a while. Now my weight today was 198.6. It's usually 197.2. But yesterday I did some stuff. Yesterday I had pizza and Fig Newtons because that was my day off. And it may be because of the processed foods. So next week, should be today, but it won't be. So next week I'll get back to the non-processed foods. I'll probably get some, you know, real meat, real potatoes, you know, eggs, you know, just get away from the processed foods and get back to where I was, you know, the low salt and all that. So the 198, and when I got on the scale last night, it was 200.6. And I was kind of disappointed. I was disappointed that I had went back over 200, because I had been under 200 for a couple weeks. And like I said, it's an anomaly. Even at 200, even though it's still a good number, it's still an anomaly weight. It's just indicating trend. It's saying, look, you better watch it. You know what you're doing. You've been here before. And the funny thing is, too, when I get on the scale, most of the time, I know what it's going to say. I'll stand there, I'll think about it, I know what it's going to say. I've been weighing myself probably now for 20 years. So I know my intake, and I know, you know, how my exercise or whatever I'm doing. I got it down to the fact now that I pretty much know what the scale is going to say. And I can pretty much nail it. But I didn't know it was going to say 200.6. So that let me know, all right, you know, get yourself together, brother. Get yourself together. You know what you're doing. It's your weekend. You know, you celebrate. And then during the week, when I was at my mother's house, I was kind of indulging at night. You know, because I had marshmallows and cookies and stuff out there that I shouldn't have been messing with. At night after work that I usually try to save to the weekend. But I didn't. So, you know how that goes. But I'll get back on it. I'll get back on it, I promise. Anyhow, that's that story. I'm going to stop and start another one. Actually, I don't know what other one to start, because I don't even know what I really want to talk about. I don't know if I want to indulge or engage or hit any topics of social relevance or political intrigue, or do I want to talk about this, do I want to talk about that? Well, let's just talk about the general state. Let me just talk about the general state of feeling. My general state of feeling. How about that? Can I do that? Can I talk about my general state of feeling? Whatever that is, I just made that up. I like it. I like what it says. So I'm going to talk about my general state of feeling. I'm going to talk about how I feel about the climate of political and social discourse, discussion, and all that such thing. Okay, I don't feel like talking about that. I'm not feeling it. Not feeling it at all. So, I don't know what that means. And I'm like, wondering why this dog who ain't on a leash is walking by me with two dogs coming up. This ought to be good. I don't want to have anything to do with what's going to happen in a second when these dogs start messing with each other. So I'm getting out of the way. They can have it. Dogs win. I lose. I walk up here. It's kind of cool walking up here. Yeah. It's kind of cool walking up here. Hey, this ain't so bad. It's, you know, it's probably getting stuff in my shoes and whatnot. But, yep, there they go. I'm not a dog person, so. And I know probably that that interaction is probably good for the dogs, good for everything. You know, I get it. You know, I'm just not a dog person. I'm not hating. I'm just like, you know, keep your dog over there. Obey the law. I'm not even, keep your dog over there. Obey the law. Leash. That's all I'm saying. You know, just obey the law. I'm not asking for anything that has already been legislated. But, I don't know. I'm just talking now. Feeling good. Out walking. Talking. Enjoying it. You know, the sun in California, work today, Lakers play today, Lakers, they need to win today, and I guess the, one of the narratives was they're old, and they won the first game after like 3 or 4 days rest. They said them old legs can't keep up when you're playing every other day. So the second time they played Golden State, well, they beat Golden State and Golden State, which is kind of a big deal. But Golden State is the champions, and they're probably one of the best teams, you know, out there. And if they're not, they got experience. And Steph Curry been there before, and he just is magical. And he's just feeling it and confident. And Klay Thompson started knocking him down. And I mean, it's just, you know, they're a super team. No, they're not a super team. You just, you know, they got it going, and they're going to be tough to beat. But the Lakers beat them that first game. And you can see, the, you know, and the, you know, Golden State Warriors, I ain't going to say they didn't seem concerned. They was like, yeah, okay. We did this last series and come back 1-3 straight or something like that. So, you know, they're confident. But the Lakers need to win tonight. The Lakers really need to win tonight. And that'll put the pressure on the next game. If they can win these two games at home and go up 3-1, and I think the series goes 2-2, 1-1-1. If they can win these two games and go up 3-1, it'd be a lot. Even if they can, see, if they lose that home court advantage, that may, you know, they just got a good advantage right now, and it'd be good to take advantage. If they'd have won the other night, that'd have been probably too much to ask for. That was, and I put 50 on them with 6.5 points. But I knew. They got blown out by 27. I mean, I knew. Tonight, I'm not sure. And if I was a gambler, I wouldn't bet on it. But I'm betting with my heart to make it interesting. So I'll put 50 on them with the points, you know, just to see. And go like that. But if they can win tonight and put that pressure on the next game, if they win tonight, get some rest, you know, come out and have something happen that next game, because this is the one they going to want to steal. But if they lose the night, and see, if they lose the night, they'll give away the home court advantage. They'll be giving away the home court advantage. And that's what I'm seeing as probably being very important, maybe even more important than what it really is. I'm just talking. I ain't got nothing to say. Or should I just talk about this stuff? Should I talk about menial stuff that I really semi-care about? No, I care about it. That I feel is semi-relevant in the workings of today, in the future of OpenAI and YouTube. I'm trying to devise all these mechanisms and ways to you know, get text summaries of my videos and this and that. And I took the long way because I like to figure out the technological aspects of it to do it myself. I love doing it myself. So, you know, I had different apps do this, different apps do that. And then I discovered, you know, AI. And I got the idea to, did Dane turn me on to OpenAI? I had heard about it, you know, but she was like, hey, you might want to check this out. So, you know, I stopped and said, okay, I looked at it and I was like, oh, okay. And I started doing stuff with it. I said, let me, because I've been wanting to summarize my, I probably talked about this already before, because I've been wanting to summarize my YouTubes. I know I talked about this before. I'm tired. No, I'm not tired. I don't know what I am. You know, sometimes you're just good. Sometimes you're just good, and you're just like, whatever, you know? Sometimes it really isn't, you're just not complacent, but you're in that zone where, hey, you know, you're not really thinking, but you're experiencing, and you're just like, you know, just chilling. Right here on my daily walk, probably a little bit overdressed, sweating a little bit, but it feels good. Need to get these in. You know, I'm gonna, if I can knock this weight down a little bit, and if I can act sensible tonight, that'll give me a little bit of leeway to be ignorant tomorrow. And I want a pastrami sandwich. That's what I want. I want a pastrami sandwich. And the one I want, I gotta go to Pasadena to get. Mark came over yesterday and he was talking stuff like that. And he was talking about this and that. And I was like, if I want a pastrami, there's only one I can get. And I'd have to go to Pasadena to get it. And I would put it in the food chopper. I would put it in the food chopper. I would. I would put it in the food chopper. I should take pictures of this house. It's coming up. In fact, I'm gonna flip the camera. I'm gonna flip the camera and get some video at least. And maybe take some screenshots of it because I like before and afters. Especially on places I walk by all the time. I was riding with my sister. And when I ride sometimes, when I drive, I realized how much walking I'm doing. I'm like, well, I've walked here. I've walked, you know, all these places. It's weird to drive by places that you've walked. And I've walked a lot. Here, Ohio, Youngstown, you know. I'm like driving into Youngstown, you know, going my route to here. Here's the house. Before and after. Will I remember where this is at? Before and after. I at least want to get the shot a little bit. You know? Just want to get the shot a little bit. Whatever it means. Just so I could say I got it. And what I could do is, take a screenshot. And it'll register a screenshot, the date and time, so I know how to get to the video. It'll name the screenshot, the file name. And the file name will tell me how to get to the main video if I need to find it, if I ever want to find it. I just like doing stuff like that. I do. I'm into that. So I'm like, you know, doing stuff with AI, trying to get my summaries, because I got all these videos up. It got to the point all the videos start stacking up. And said, instead of just trying to wait until I get them, you know, quote unquote, the right way, I said, let me just put them up. So I sold it on a naming convention where they could be stacked. And the syntax would be, you know, no spaces, one word, me talking, underscore and the date. That way I can sort them by name in an order of, you know, date, name and date to be the same. So, and it's also, and I won't have to rely on the created by or the modified date. So, and oh, I posted a video. I posted something a little controversial just a few seconds ago. Somebody about the when was America great? You know, when was America great thing? And I put, you know, hey, you know, I said great don't mean perfect. You know, I didn't ask when the question was when they ended the global institution of slavery. I knew that's going to trigger some people. And I hope they come back with some good commentary. Because, you know, I guess I'm triggering or antagonizing. I don't know if the word is gaslighting. I don't know if you would call it that. But I know that, you know, I'm going to get reaction. But, and I also know that the reaction I'm going to get is going to be emotional and probably not complete with data. There's a lot of, you know, and a lot of ad hominem telling me what I am and what I ain't, you know, and I kind of know that, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, see what comes back. And I figure people are watching it or seeing it, so I get to reply back in the manner in which I would like the conversation to go and see what I get back from it. Because a lot of people can't, well, I guess a lot of people, some people just can't, you know, get their point out or express themselves in a objective manner. And it's a lot of subjective feelings. They put their feelings in there, or they put their emotion in there, or they put, you know, you knows and what ifs without any data or any kind of thing to back them. I do too, but not to that great of extent. Because I really don't really say anything too demonstrative. I really don't say anything too demonstrative. I just ask insinuating questions. So, and then I'll get back. United States, you know, I put down, when the United States, when was America great? You know, I made a post on my, first it started on Facebook. Somebody posted a question. I woke up in the morning, I was feeling a little bit, so I typed out a little something, a few replies to my own reply, put it out there. And then I took that and I cut and pasted it into my website, you know, and made a post out of it. And in that post, I put a cool little picture. I was like, oh. And the way the post showed up on my website was kind of cool, so I screenshotted that and I posted it to Facebook. And I tagged it, I labeled it, great does not mean perfect. And the question was, when we ended the institution of globalized slavery or something like that, you know, and I thought we did. I'm sure we may have had a hand in it. I did a quick Google. It said it was passed in the United Nations in 1948, but you know. You know, I can even say, oh, okay, I was mistaken. But even if I was mistaken, once the conversation goes in that direction, it's my point. Because even if I am mistaken, which I did not intentionally try to be, I did not intentionally put out something that I knew was incorrect. I probably could have did more research. I probably could have got my facts together, but in my mind, it was in my, I heard somewhere that, you know, the United States was like a major influence on having institution of slavery, you know, ended. What is that on me? You see that? Did y'all see that? Locust. It's the locust. Ain't that in the Bible? Did y'all see it? They gonna say I'm Satan. That's why it jumped on me. Did y'all see that? At 1605. See if I remember that. 1605. Did y'all see that? Landed right on me. I'm Satan. Talking about the global institution of slavery. The locust. Ain't that the plague that's coming? First you got the plague. First you got Donald Trump. And now you got the plague. You got everybody knowing everybody's information or something like that. It's like the signs of the apocalypse or something like that. Am I wrong? The rapture? Am I close? So, enough of that up there. So, we'll see who responds or not. Probably usual parties to respond. And I'll hit them back. You know. And, you know, we'll see. We shall see. I ain't even checked yet. Not in a hurry to. Usually I'll be like, woo! Let me hurry up, but now I'm like, what the heck? Because I'm secure in being me. The whole thing is I'm secure in who I am, what I'm doing. I have faith and confidence in Jeffrey, in Jeffrey's philosophy, in the path that Jeffrey's on, and the reality that Jeffrey experiences. I have faith and belief in the reality that Jeffrey experiences. I have faith and belief in the reality that Jeffrey experiences. I said that 3 times just to see what AI is going to do with it. See if AI is going to pick it up and highlight that. But, yeah, that's one reason why I did it. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I just like conversation. That's like conversation. The whole, I had a good conversation with Mark yesterday just to bounce stuff off of him, you know, to get things from his perspective. Which I probably generalized and put in a stereotypical idea of what not all black people think, because he's a lot less, you know, radical, if that's the word that, you know, a lot of black people are. He's a little bit more critical, probably a lot more critical of black people than a lot of black people are, but he's still kind of lands on the premise that whatever we are, white people are responsible for. It's just like, you know, he almost stands on that, that whatever we are, why we're here, whatever, all of that, white people are responsible for. And all the plight and everything we're going through, it's their fault. Because I guess the idea that they could have left us back there. They could have left us in Africa. But he did say something about they came and they took us. I said, they didn't take anything. I said, they were given, you know. Slave trade. White men didn't go out and capture nobody. That's why he's saying roots. The beginning of roots. When the white people went to Africa and actually went and captured Kunta Kinte, even Alex Haley said he knew that was incorrect. Even Alex Haley said he took creative liberty and putting that in, because there's no evidence of white people or Western civilization 50 miles inside Africa. All the slaves were brought to them. So you're talking about 10 million slaves. That means 10 million African slaves were brought to the coast to be picked up, imprisoned and picked up and traded. White people didn't have to go chase them down. They was brought to them. So because white people didn't invent the institution of slavery. And I'm not demeaning or putting down how horrible slavery was. White people, as we know, take everything to the nth level. They just over, you know, I ain't gonna say they just overdo it, but black people do too. But I guess all people do. But you know, white people got their way of just really, just over, not overdoing stuff, but really digging into it and just taking it to like another level. And I guess black people do too in a different way. I guess Asian, I guess everybody does. I don't know why I think I see it as white people doing it. Maybe I see everybody's different way differently, and it seems unique, but it's not. The way the different quote-unquote races take things to another level is unique to that race. So I guess each time I look at it, I say that they may be the only race to do it, like dancing, sports, and singing. Black people got ways with being creative with the language and emotion and et cetera. And white people got, you know, I ain't gonna say the sciences or, you know, going to the moon or just extremes, you know, the extremes, how they can take things to an extreme, if you want to call it that. But, and so it seems, you know, I think white people have their way of taking things to an extreme. And, you know, I think that, you know, black people got a way, definitely got a way of taking shit to the extreme. So, you know, maybe even Asian with the tiger mom or whatever, you know, I guess we all got, you know, anyhow, but, you know, white people, you know, with their, you know, discovery, age of discovery and pillaging, you know, what they did to the Indians, Native Americans here and all that. There's atrocities, definitely atrocities. But does that mean that the country ain't great? You can make a great omelet, you got to break a couple eggs. Eggs aren't people. So you say, eggs are life. Eggs are life. They're embryos, in fact. You want to get weird and have wordplay. But you know what I'm saying. Even if it was on the backs of people, even however they did it, they built it, however it got here, atrocities or unscrupulous activities, it could still be built to be great. And a lot of people may have suffered for it. And the course of human history, hundreds of thousands of years from now, we'll look back and we'll see if it was worth it, to put it crudely. We'll look back and say, hey, was that worth it? Was it worth that they subjugated these people? Did they kill these people that did that to build this? Because right now, we have an institution that may not be perfect, but seems to be working, in which the idea of democracy and exchange of information and rights and freedom of rights and all that, that we're definitely on the right path. It may not be perfect, and there's going to be some people left behind, no doubt. But overall, we're doing hella good. 7 billion people, and the poverty rates are going down. You know, there's health care, there's internet. I mean, overall, if you step back and look at it overall, it's hard to argue. And like one point I was making, for me, there can be no greater place than the United States. Does that make them great? In my eyes. So, I forget where I was going with that. But, you know, you kind of get the idea. You get the idea that, you know, the white people did some stuff. What's the civilization, white people? Let's call it the Europeans. You know, all the discoverers we learned about, Leif Erikson, and Columbus, and Amerigo Vespucci. You know, see, I still remember the names because that part of history was interesting to me. I don't know why, it still stuck to my head. Magellan, I remember those names. I remember the social studies class or whatever class that was. This was probably fourth, fifth, sixth grade. I remember that stuff. It sticks with me. It stuck with me. Of how all this started, you know, how it came. And then as I got older, I started to learn what Europe was, what Europe really was, what kind of people were there. And then as I got older, how those people got there, how those people migrated there. Then I got into race, how white people were created, quote unquote created. They said it took 20,000 years to evolve a white person, even if we all evolved out of Africa. And given, I'll give, you know, without, on faith, that we were all dark skinned. And then a certain segment of the almost human population moved to, I guess, Neanderthal or whatever, migrated to a colder climate with less sun. And over thousands of years, the bodies adapted. You know, those that were able to survive ended up looking like white people, pale, you know, narrow nose, light eyes, hair, and all that stuff. And then, you know, it may be in their plight, living in that kind of environment, they became so desperate or so whatever they had to go out and rape, not rape, not had to, but, you know, it was, they decided, or they wanted, they had to go out and rape and pillage to get resources to survive. Maybe, because they didn't, I heard they didn't even have potatoes. They didn't have salt. You know, they didn't have, you know, anything in the European. It looked like people comment. I don't know. It looked like people might be commenting on my post, so I kind of want to stop and look. I think I am. It was actually people commenting on other posts, which is good, because I also realized, too, another thing, that if I put something out there and nobody touches it, that's just as good as it going viral. I noticed if I put something up and nobody touches it, bingo, that means I nailed it. So nobody, well, I guess one person replied, when did they do that? You know, when did America end the global institution? When did they do that? So, and I'll answer that question later. I'll figure it out. But, I mean, so the question is, great doesn't mean perfect. Great doesn't mean perfect. You can be great and not perfect. And nothing's pure this or pure that. I think I said that already. So I just got this back on. Finish up. Wrap it up. Guess I'll do my outro. Put it in my pocket. Finish the rest of the walk. In my silence, communicating with myself. A lot of bikers out here today. The weather's broke and it's Saturday. And I think I'm out here at about the same time. A lot of bikers out here today, riding like in families. Well, actually, I saw, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, bikers, you know, males, you know, 20, 30 something year old males with, you know, the whole biking gear, you know, the pants, spandex pants and the helmets and the, you know, the traditional cyclist gear, drive, you know, riding a big group. And I get it. And I was thinking, do people really need to, you know, wear all that biker's gear? And I thought, you know, maybe it breaks down on wind resistance. Maybe it does that, maybe it does this. Then I thought, well, if you wear that, you get home, you take that off, it's hardly no clothing. You know, it's like hardly no, it's nothing just to rinse that stuff out and hang it up to dry. Because the way the material is made out of, and it's not a lot of, you know, pockets, no extra material. It's like clingy on your legs and on your, you know, upper body, torso and stuff. So it's something you can almost ball up and carry in one hand. It's easy to wash, it's easy to rinse, and easy to dry. So that in itself, let alone it feeling streamlined on your body, you know, probably less wind resistance and all that. I was thinking that's a good point right there. Just to, you know, maybe my mic shield, my wind guard is at home. Maybe it fell out there because it had to be in there. I don't know where it fell out. It had to fall out. Maybe when I put it on my, I didn't see it when I pulled it out of my pocket. So it might be in the house on the floor someplace, or because I didn't, and when I pulled it out of my pocket, I looked in the area to where I pulled it out of my pocket at. So I didn't see it there either. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm looking now for it. I don't know why. I'm looking now for it. Anyhow, swing all y'all two times. For me, two times. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed on this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. A totality of it all, a theory of universe. A hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.